Well, good morning, church, and welcome to our Sunday service. I trust you've really enjoyed the worship that was led by Rue. And wasn't that an amazing thought that Rue brought to us around the communion table? I've listened in to many communion talks, and I've been part of many communion talks myself. But I just love the way he did that fly on the wall kind of documentary of a communion service. That really blessed by that. So this morning I'd like to just begin to talk on a new subject. A few weeks ago, as I was just thinking ahead, and I was just sat in my little chair at home, not my high chair, my little chair. So I was sat in my chair, and I was just saying, God, what's life about, and what's going to happen next in the life of Riviera Life Church? What's going to happen ministry-wise in the context of everything we say and everything we do? And he started to drop some kind of words into my thinking, and started to stretch me a little bit in this little thought. And this morning, and over the course of the next few weeks, next week we've got Rachel Hickson speaking for us, and then I'll be speaking the following week. I just want to encourage you this morning that it's time to reboot one's life. Okay, I'm going to repeat that: reboot one's life. You may think, why has Ian brought a laptop to church this morning? This is my Mac Air laptop. I've had it for a number of years. It's served me really well. But over the course of the last 6 months, maybe a little bit more than 6 months, the laptop, in a sense, has become ineffective. It's become very inefficient, it's become sluggish, it's become very poor in maintaining its battery life, and if I haven't got the mains adapter connected into the computer within a matter of a few minutes, a slight exaggeration, at least 10 minutes, 10 minutes, the computer for some reason just turns itself off, there's memory leakage, and you need to know this, that I'm very frustrated with this laptop. There have been many occasions when I've wanted to get the laptop and throw it across the room to smash against the wall. There's been times I've wanted to file it in the bin next to me. There's times when I've wanted to go to the wheelie bin outside, and I've wanted to dispose of this laptop because it had become ineffective and it had become inefficient. But I thought before I did that, I would go and I would go to the computer geek. I'm not being offensive when I use that terminology, but I wanted to go to the computer geek, and I was going to ask him or her for some advice on what to do with this ineffective, inefficient laptop which I seemed to have on my desk. And he looked across, it was a guy, he looked across with these geekish kind of glasses. And he said, have you tried rebooting your computer? Now, it's familiar terminology to me, but I didn't necessarily know what he meant when he said, have you tried rebooting it? Because I have thought about booting it, but that's the wrong type of rebooting. So I'm led to understand. So I asked this individual, I said to him, can you please tell me what the definition is? And when I listened to his definition of rebooting and my understanding of what I was going to do when it came to rebooting, they were poles apart, north and south poles, they were miles apart. And his definition of rebooting was this: you need to shut your computer down with the sole purpose of rebooting, bracket, to restart it in the future. And while you are rebooting it, it goes through a process of flushing clean any malicious viruses affected or affecting its function or its ability to function. He looked across the room at me, and he said this: there are hidden viruses in your computer, sir, that are causing the computer to be inefficient and ineffective. And then he started to speak in this heavenly language called computer language, which I'm still waiting to download the interpretation of. He said this: you have inner systems within your computer that have become bogged down. He says there are inner systems that need to be cleaned and flushed in readiness for future operation. And then he gave me this four-point sermon illustration. He says you need to flush the ram. Now, the only flushing system I know is in a little room just around the corner. But he says you need to flush the RAM, which is your random access memory. And when you do this, it will stop memory leakage. It will fix all of the small errors and it will install the latest updates. I'm bemused by what he said. Not just bemused, but I am confused by what he said also. And then he looked across and he says, sir, you also need to download an antivirus agent or system. And I looked across at him and he could tell the confusion on my face because this face looked absolutely lost at that moment. He says, when you have installed an antivirus, the antivirus will detect, prevent, disarm, and remove future viruses. Wow. You didn't know I knew that much about computer or the computer world, did you? Well, I don't. I'm just repeating what I was told. But what I do know is this, that when I went back to my office, to my little room, to my little chair, and I sat upon it, I felt the Holy Spirit distinctly say this to me. So clear, so concise, and so powerful were the words of the Holy Spirit. I felt the Holy Spirit say this. During the COVID-19 lockdown, God Himself wants to reboot His church. He doesn't just want to reboot the church, He wants to reboot every born-again Christ follower because the church and the believer have become ineffective and inefficient. Powerful language, challenging language that I felt the Holy Spirit say. But the head of the church wants to reboot his church because the church, the believer, has become bogged down, weary, sluggish, and has experienced a loss of effectiveness and efficiency. I want to read you a Bible verse to help you this morning. I want you to sit tight. I want you to hold tight. I want you to put the seatbelt on because we're going on a journey this morning. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30 reads like this. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burnt out on religion? Come to me, Jesus says, or God says. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I did it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you will learn to live freely and lightly. You see, God the Holy Spirit wants to be our antivirus agent in our lives, and he wants to detect and prevent and disarm and remove any corrupt viruses that have affected the hidden systems inside of your heart, your life, my heart, my life, and also disarm and remove any corrupted viruses hidden within the inner systems of church program and church activity. It's time for the church to be rebooted. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says this, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do will flow from it. The prophet Ezekiel says this, I will give you a new heart. He's speaking on behalf of God here. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove from you the heart of stone and give you a new heart. What am I saying there? I sense the Holy Spirit would say this, that we've allowed our heart to become hardened with a virus or viruses. But the Holy Spirit wants to step in and wants to remove the virus that has contaminated our hearts and our behavior patterns. And he wants to give us a new heart. There are a number of viruses I want to talk about this morning, because I believe that God the Holy Spirit wants to work on your life, my life, and our life collectively. The first virus I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to deal with this morning is this. Fear has infected the heart. I'm going to repeat that this morning. Fear has infected the heart. When the Bible talks about fear, that the Bible has a distinct definition of the word fear. It's to have an incorrect perception. That's what fear is. Fear affects the way you see, it affects what you hear, and it will affect what you become. And this virus, which has contaminated the heart of the church and the believer, called fear, has gripped the heart and has starved the heart of oxygen, called faith. It's caused blockages within the systems, and many churches, many Christ followers are experiencing what I've described here as spiritual cardiac. So let's repeat that. Spiritual cardiac arrest, heart failure. But during the lockdown, during the lockdown and through the process of rebooting, God wants to change the condition of the heart. You see, the virus that's affected the heart has caused the heart to beat no longer passionately for God and his purposes and his presence. That the virus has caused religious ritual to substitute life-giving relationship. That the virus of fear has caused the program to overtake the importance of presence. That the virus has caused many to go through the motion and has replaced Holy Spirit movement and intimacy. Oftentimes we can become frozen with fear. Once again, that word frozen is another computer tech terminology. When the computer becomes ineffective and you can't do anything, and all you want to do is you want to open your computer. I'm just going to open my computer. You can never open your computer when you want to open your computer, can you? And the computer becomes frozen and you end up doing this to the desk, and you try to create some life and some movement. You shake it vigorously. But the computer's become frozen. There's no response due to the software malfunctioning, and the system has crashed. But when God reboots his church, the frozen church becomes the chosen church. And the crashed church becomes the church that's alive and vibrant. You see, the antivirus for fear is love. It says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, that there is no fear in love, because perfect love casts out all fear. And as I look down the camera lens this morning and I begin to speak into your heart and into your life, I want to use the words that John recorded in the book of Revelation when he challenged the local church. He says, "Why have you forsaken your first love?" Maybe you didn't realize this, but the virus has been eating away at your heart and you've lost the first love, the commitment, the passion that you once had. It's time to be rebooted. I think of the time when Jesus meets with his disciples on the seashore, and they're having breakfast together, and he looks across to Peter and he says to Peter, "Do you love me?" And Peter said, "Of course I love you." And he says, "Do you love me?" He says, "Of course I love you." And he says, "Do you really love me?" And he says, "Of course I love you." The question this morning to us is, do you love me? That's not me asking you. That's God asking you this morning. Do you love me, says God? You see, you can measure your intimacy and your love with an individual by the amount of time you spend with that person. Can I encourage you today in the rebooting of your faith walk, in the rebooting of church, in the rebooting of life, can I encourage you to spend quality time with God? You see, time is the greatest commodity that any of us have. God loves you and I so much that he gave his one and his only son. Can I say this before I go on to my second point? God loves you just the way you are, but God loves you too much to allow you to remain where you are and who you are. It's time to be rebooted. The second little phrase I want to encourage you with, or correct us with this morning, is this, that discouragement has infected. When the Bible talks about discouragement, it talks about the extinguishing of courage. It talks about to be disheartened, to have a depressed spirit, to be deflated and empty. Maybe the virus, the spiritual virus that I'm talking about this morning, has left you feeling empty. Can I say that you're not empty? You're just filled with the wrong stuff. There's no such thing as emptiness in this kind of context. You see, what it really means is that we're full of something. It's filled with the wrong stuff. And what we need to begin to do is empty ourselves of that sense of discouragement and fill ourselves with encouragement. I want to encourage you today, as God reboots his church and reboots the believer, he wants his church and the believer to be full of the Holy Spirit. He wants us to be full of hope, hopeful. He wants us to have the John 10 kind of experience. He wants us to live life to the full. He wants us to be powerful. He wants us to be plentiful. He wants us to be faithful. And what we need to begin to do, we need to begin to understand that to be discouraged is to have one's heart taken out of them. The word encourage, it is to give heart. If you begin to look at the root meaning of the word encourage, it's to give heart. So if you are giving heart by encouraging, by discouraging, you are taking heart away. And if we don't fight this virus called discouragement, and we have to fight it, we have to contend against it. If we don't fight it, it will fight us and it will choke us. Can I say this, that discouragement is likened to the thief that comes in the night to steal, kill, and destroy. But encouragement is likened to Jesus, who comes to give us abundant life and life in all of its fullness. The antivirus for discouragement is simply this. Number one, surround yourself with encouragers. Find yourselves Barnabases. In the book of Acts, Barnabas was called the son of encouragement. Can I encourage you to fight discouragement? Surround yourselves with encouragers. The second one is simply this. Learn to encourage yourself. Begin to speak faith into yourself. Begin to speak truth into yourself. Begin to speak encouragement to yourself. David, it's recorded in the Old Testament. David strengthened himself in the Lord. What was he doing? He was encouraging himself on the things that God spoke to him. And the third thing is this. The Lord says to you today, be strong. Be courageous. Be encouraged. I've rebooted you for future operation. Remember, the shutdown of the computer was to clean its inner system. And then the restarting or the rebooting of the computer was for future function. And I want to prophetically speak over your life this morning. And it's simply this. You and I have been in shutdown for one sole purpose, so God himself could reboot us for our future. The third little thought or virus that I want to talk about for a few moments is distortion has infected your heart. Once again, the meaning of the word distortion is to be pulled and twisted out of shape. The Message translation quotes in Psalm 119 verse 41 and puts it beautifully. Let your love, God, shape my life with salvation, exactly as you promise. I want to encourage you that in the rebooting of church, in the rebooting of the believer, God is reshaping us in that moment, and it's his love that is shaping us. When I was younger, We would often go to the beach, or we would go to the local pier, and at that time on the pier, at the end of the pier, there were something which were called the funny mirrors, or the hall of mirrors. And as you stood in front of the mirror, you didn't see a true reflection of who you are or were. You saw a distorted image. That there were some mirrors due to the concave or the convex mirror. When you stood in front of it, it made you look tall and slim. And it made you look like a bean pole. Not an ounce of fat on the body to be seen or found. And then when you stood to the other side and looked into another mirror, you saw this short, squat kind of person where everything had been pressed down and pulled up. And once you were looking at a beanpole individual, now you were looking at a kind of a Humpty Dumpty kind of person, very short, very distorted. They're called funny mirrors. Can I encourage you with this thought and this word this morning? In the rebooting of the church and in the rebooting of the believer, God the Holy Spirit is removing the distorted mirrors that we often look at ourselves in and through. Many would have a distorted image of what the church looks like. Many have a distorted impression of who they look like. Their identity has been twisted. It has been pulled out of shape. And we shouldn't be looking through the concave or the convex mirror of the world. But a description of the Bible says this, and there are many. It talks about being a hammer. It talks about it being a number of things. But on one occasion, it talks about the Bible, the Word of God, being as a mirror. I want to encourage you in the rebooting of the church and the rebooting of the believer that we are not to look through the distorted mirrors, but we are to look through the Word, the mirror of the Word of God. You need to begin to see yourself as God sees you. That's a big one. You need to begin to align yourself to what the Word of God has said and spoken over you. Why? Because it's the truth. And the truth will set you free. You need to allow the Holy Spirit to shine a light through the Word into your life and to reveal any darkness, any corruption, any virus that needs to be rebooted or booted out. You see, the light of the Holy Spirit shines into the dark recesses of the heart. And that's what the shutdown was about. So we could be rebooted completely different to the ones that went into the shutdown. The ones who come out of the shutdown are distinctly different to the ones who went in. Why? Because we have been rebooted. Another virus. This is my fourth virus. Not literally, but this is my fourth virus this morning I want to just talk about is this. And it's not one of my words, but it's a word that I want to introduce into our life. Duplicity has infected your heart. Duplicity, that's the word. And when we begin to look at the definition of that word, duplicity, it talks about contradictory or doubleness of thought. It's where our speech and our action don't sync together. There's no synchronization between our speech and our action. Can I put it in layman's terms this morning? Double standards, pretense, dualism, hypocrisy. That word hypocrisy or hypocrite comes from a Greek word, and it's a theatrical word. It talks about a stage player. It talks about someone who is an actor or an actress. They're pretending to be something, and it comes from the first century, and it describes a theatrical mask that they would wear to pretend to be something. the shutdown and the rebooting is to deal with duplicity in the church and the believer. Double standard in the church. Double standard in the believer. Where there's a sacred and secular divide. What somebody is on a Sunday is very different to what he or she may be on a Monday. Saint on a Sunday, sinner on a Monday. Can I just say this, that if you and I decide to live a dual purpose life, for a life of duplicity, we will be miserable individuals, because we're not hot and we're not cold, we're lukewarm. And once again, in the book of Revelation, we see in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to 22, it describes a church that was lukewarm, and it says, you're lukewarm, and I spew you out. So what's the antivirus to that? Well, it's love again. And what we need to do is we need to rediscover in the moment of being rebooted our first love. We need to fan into flame the passion, the compassion, and the enthusiasm that we once had. We need to rebuild the altars that we've allowed to become derelict and broken and falling down. We need to follow the Matthew principle of seeking first the kingdom. We need to begin to prioritize our time. We need to find time where we're still to know him, not just to know him intellectually, but to know him intimately. We need to be real and stop wearing the mask and stop playing the part, because the rebooting was all about future purpose and function and activity. So the days of my frustration are coming to an end, because I'm going to get this computer sorted out. I'm going to send it away. Not to the computer heaven in the sky, never to see it again, but I'm going to send it away so the specialist can cause the ill effect and the inefficiency to be changed, because he's going to work on it. I'm so grateful that God didn't throw me away, and didn't throw you away, didn't throw us away, but simply said, I'm going to put you in shutdown. And when I put you in shutdown, I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to work upon you. And I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to reboot you. Because as he reboots us, he's preparing us for the future. You see, the rebooting of life in 2020 is the flushing of our ram. Can I call it the ram, the heart? It's to stop the memory leakage. It's to fix all the small errors. And it's to install the latest updates. Why operate on old systems when there are new systems for us? And it's to position us in readiness for future use. Church, it's time to be rebooted. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity of being together. And I pray that you take my words this morning. And God, I really believe it's a prophetic word to our church. And not just our church, but the church universal. I pray, God, that you would take the words. And when we begin to reopen our eyes, we see things differently. We smell things differently, and we hear things differently, and we become more effective and more efficient, because you've got a plan and a purpose for every one of us. And all of God's people said, Amen. Be blessed.